This is Prop Points on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Prop Points. Jeff Erickson here. With my good buddy Brandon Kravitz from RotoWire. We are happy to join you for the next hour. Man, I go spend 2 weeks in Europe and I can't even open a show. What's going on here, guys? We got a lot to talk about today. We got we're going to talk a little college baseball World Series, a lot of live updates for baseball games, a lot of day games today. So a lot to cover there. We're going to talk a lot of NBA, including Game 6. We're going to do a little play it or pass it. We're going to do a little talking with Brian Fonseca as well. And then, of course, my baseball bets for the day for the games after this show as well. Brandon, you've been sitting in the host chair, the big chair here all week now. How's it going? How are you feeling?
I feel pretty good. It's a lot of fun to be a part of the action. And I mean, I've been a fan of VSiN's for years, so it's kind of a pinch me moment to be on this show. Now, I wish we've had a lot of great content. I got to start the week talking about a Desmond Bane trade to my Orlando Magic. That's the team that I cover locally here in Central Florida. My baseball bets, though, boy, am I glad to have you back. Miss Nick, but my bets have been ice cold. So we need some winners. We'll get some of those at the end of the show.
No pressure. No pressure at all here. Let's start off talking Omaha here. We have a final in the College Baseball World Series. Dramatic win for LSU last night over Arkansas. Boy, Arkansas run the gamut. They had a lead last night. They had a no-hitter earlier in the College World Series. They lose in heartbreaking fashion to LSU last night. 6-5 walk-off victory against a conference rival. You know, they've been rivals. I mean, they've been geographical rivals for a while. I remember college football. It's always one of those Thanksgiving Friday games that they used to play. So these two teams, there's a good development of hate between them to face each other in an elimination game for the College World Series. Pretty big stuff.
Huge. And Arkansas was sitting pretty heading into the ninth. I felt like they were the better team. Was disappointed to see the way that they wrapped this one up. Just a comedy of errors, Jeff, and all really coming in the ninth inning. Double plays turned awry, line drives not fielded properly. It was a mess. And LSU now back in the promised land. The SEC reigning supreme again. The big dollars well spent. LSU headed back to the national championship for the second time in the last three seasons. But I don't think their opponent's going to go quietly. So it might be something we have to dig into here.
Well, and that's just the thing. We only saw two SEC teams make it to Omaha, which is a little bit of an upset considering the way it was last year when it was the SEC-ACC Invitational. We saw Coastal Carolina, who we're going to talk about here, hasn't lost a game in the playoffs, in the College World Series at all, in the tournament. You know, they're 8-0 so far. They were a host team. You know, they've ripped through in Omaha. They laid waste to Arizona. They turned around. They beat Oregon State, a really highly ranked Oregon State team, and then just eliminated Louisville. I mean, they've had it easy so far.
Yeah, and there it just hasn't been a lot of drama for them, and not a lot of drama in the final to get here, 11-3 against Louisville, that final remaining team from a really strong ACC this season. But I am not sleeping on the Chanticleers. I don't know how many people out there would be at this point. Just perhaps based on name value, I think if you're blindly betting this, not knowing a lot about college baseball, you go, okay, LSU is probably going to take this one. They're the favorite. They're in the SEC. Paul Skeens played there a couple of years ago. The Chanticleers won 56 games this year. That's the most in D1 this season. They are riding an incredible streak that goes beyond just postseason ball. 26 games in a row. This program has been rolling for years. This is not a fluke. Jeff, they won the championship back in 2016. This is a legitimate baseball program in this country. Betting Coastal at +130 in game one doesn't feel like a bad move. They have been the more dominant of the two, and I don't think we're going to see meltdowns from this team like we saw from Arkansas. Coastal is one of the best bullpens in the country, and they rank fifth in terms of that bullpen in ERA, 18th in WHIP. So this is no slouch. I think backing the Chanticleers could be the way to go.
Yeah, LSU -166 on the money line, Coastal +130, total of 8.5. If you're looking for the series, It's LSU minus 190, Coastal one plus 155 on the draft, according to the DraftKings Sportsbook there. So very interesting to see, you know, where the lines are going there, where the betting is going there. All right, let's turn our attention over to live baseball, and we'll talk a little bit about the NBA as well. Twins and Reds. This game's 9-4 in the fourth inning. Nick Martinez did not have it today. Byron Buxton's big story in this one. Even though both of his homers were solo, he's had four homers in this three-game series. I think he likes it there, Brandon. I don't think he ever wants to leave.
You know, you never quite know what you're going to get from Byron Buxton, but good to see him snap out of it a little bit. The Reds started off this season so poorly offensively. I thought they were really going to they've been turning things around. Third most runs scored in the National League. I actually backed the Reds today. So even before we got on the air, my cold streak in baseball seems to have continued into.
How could you do that to me? My Reds, you did that to me, Brandon. That's your fault. You're the guy that's doing this, not the Reds, not Nick Martinez. It's Brandon Kravitz that's doing that. Yankees up 4-2 on the Angels. Mike Trout, though, hit just this laser in the first inning. 423-foot homer, 112 miles an hour off the bat. You could see Carlos Rodon's reaction. He's like, wow, just watching his reaction off of that one there. Yankees are a pretty big favorite on the money line now, but they've lost six in a row, Brandon, really struggling offensively, breaking out of their doldrums a little bit today.
I would say a lot. their team total today was set at 5.5. They're already at 4 runs in the top of the third as it stands right now. Their last 5 games, 2-3-0s. And a 3. That is what they have put up in their last 5 games. They had holding players only meetings. I mean, these woes have been sort of mystifying for how much talent they have, but it does look like they've broken out of it.
Indeed, indeed. Homers in this game also from Joe Adell on the Angels. Paul Goldschmidt and Trent Grisham have homered for the Yankees. Got a couple other games that have gotten started. Detroit and Pittsburgh had a late start due to a rain delay. This is a first of a doubleheader. Disappointing that we don't get to see Paul Skeens versus Tarek Skubal. The Pirates decided not to push Skeens to that first game. Maybe they just want to give him a better chance to win, knowing they're going against Skubal. Tigers already up 1-0 in that one there, bottom of the first. The pace-eating Colorado Rockies have won 3 in a row against the Nationals. They are down 2-0. Nationals have lost 11 in a row on that one there. Even though the Rockies are having a nice little series, they're not really a real boy just yet. Still 17 wins on the season there. We'll be talking more baseball throughout the course of the show, but we got a couple other NBA notes we wanted to hit here. News came down that the Buss family is going to sell the Lakers for $10 billion. Your reaction, Brandon Kravitz?
May we all be so lucky to sell something for $10 billion someday. That's my first reaction. It is amazing. It seems like we are not evaluating these franchises properly. The valuations, and this isn't from schmoes like us. I'm talking about Forbes. They're pretty good with money. They had the Lakers valued at $7 billion from an article that was written earlier this year, and they were off by $3 billion. That seems like a pretty big miscalculation. I think part of it is that we're not valuing these franchises even as high as they are. Another part of it is that the multi-billionaires that are now able to purchase these franchises, I don't think really care how much it costs. It's such a rarity to be able to own a professional sports team in this country that they're just paying whatever they need to in order to get their hands on it. I think another thing, Jeff, that I look at is the gap between the top teams and then some of the lower brands in sports. The Rays are being talked about as there's a potential sale for them, and that's south of $2 billion. So we're talking about an $8 billion gap between two American sports franchises. It seems pretty wide to me.
Yeah. Although when you think about it though, just short of $2 billion for the Rays seems like a lot. The Royals and the Marlins sold for $1 billion respectively. And remember, $1 billion's a lot. That's still a lot. It's $1 billion. And for franchises, especially in the case of the Marlins, where they're crying poor for so long and, you know, strip mining their payrolls and things of that nature, that's still a ton. It's still profitable to be in the professional sports business there. And we are seeing more hedge funds, more of those sort of entities. I don't think going back to the Lakers, Jeannie Buss is still going to be involved in the management of the franchise, at least for a couple more years, it looks like. So we'll see. It seems like business as usual for the Lakers. We'll see if that has any other impact on across the league or anything like that. Real quickly, before we get to a little bit of business here, you mentioned it, Desmond Bane. I want to get your 30-second take on that deal there. I know we could spend a whole segment on it, but it's interesting to see the Magic in a go-for-it trade.
Yeah, I do a three-hour live show in Orlando, Florida, 5 days a week, and I have spent the majority of my hours talking about this trade, so I could definitely spend more than 30 seconds on it, but I'll give you the Knights Cliff Notes version of it. You could not ask for a more perfect fit than Desmond Bane. Culturally, he fits in. He's got kind of that dog mentality. He brings it on defense. That's the calling card of this Magic team, but they had to get better offensively, mostly from the three-point line. They were the worst three-point shooting team in the NBA, but he's even more dynamic than that. He can pass and he can attack the rim, so I think he should fit like a glove.
All right. More base basketball talk coming up, but first, are you still using your buddy's gut instinct as your betting strategy? Come on, you deserve better. RotoWire has the real tools the pros use: rankings, projections, updates, and data that doesn't sleep. Whether you're making picks, setting your fantasy lineup, or placing bets, our award-winning insights give you the edge you need. Get started today by heading over to rotowire.com and entering ROTO15 at checkout for 15% off any RotoWire product. We're going to be talking a little play it or pass it with the games, NBA Game 6 tonight. That's coming up next. Later on, we got Brian Fonseca going to join us from the Ashton Network. Maybe get a little take on the Knicks head coaching search from him as well. And then finally, they'll hit a bunch of baseball bets and baseball live baseball updates. All coming up next here on Prop Points.
You're watching Prop Points on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Welcome back to Prop Points. Game 6 of the NBA Finals is tonight in Indianapolis. OKC up 3-2. Boo in this one here. But hey, we're going to be unbiased. We're going to go take a look at some of our favorite props and decide whether to play it or pass it tonight. And today, Brandon gets the honors of making those decisions. Let's start off with Pascal Siakam. Over 28.5 points plus rebounds at -110. Play it or pass it, Brandon.
I'm going to play it. The bigger decision for me is, do I want the points and the rebounds, or do I just want the points at 21.5? I haven't placed the bet yet, but I'm going to end up on one of the two once I settle on a decision. But sure, let's look at 28.5 for points and rebounds as it stands right now. Siakam is the constant for this Pacers team. I think this is also independent of whether or not Haliburton plays. And I mean, look at what he's done in this series. He leads the Pacers in points per game throughout the course of these five games. He leads them in rebounding, and they've been going smaller at times to combat some of these Thunder lineups. And that's allowed for even more rebounding opportunities. But this is where I think it's important to look at some of these props and say, do I like this with Haliburton? Do I like this without Haliburton? If the answer is yes to both of them, then you have a bet for yourself, because you know, of course, Hallie plays such a big role in how you factor in Indiana and their props.
Yeah, and let's weigh in on that real quick, because obviously that weighs over everything in this series, is whether Haliburton plays or not. He has had an MRI. Of course, the Pacers are not going to tell us a whole lot about that. Calf injuries are really tricky. They said he's iffy. They said he's kind of a game-time decision on that one there. We've seen players try to play through it and then have setbacks in the game. OG Anunoby, for instance, last year against the Pacers in the Eastern Conference semifinals, is one example of that. Dame this past year, and obviously that turned out a lot worse and turned into an Achilles too. So obviously the Pacers, their moment is now, and yet still, Hallie is their future. You can't push this too much.
It's such a tough spot to be in. As a competitor, you want to be out there. You want to play. You want to play through anything. If this is game 41 of the season, we're not having this conversation. He's just simply out, and he's probably out multiple weeks, and we get the old, he'll be reevaluated in a month kind of report. But this is what you play for to get to this point. I think if I'm in Haliburton's camp, I feel very conflicted as to what to do, if I'm Haliburton himself or if I'm a Pacers fan, because – okay, would you rather attempt to win the championship, which you probably won't win if he plays anyway, with the chance that he could further injure himself and then be out next season. It's a tough call for everybody involved.
Yeah, I mean, it's also, you might view it as their best chance, though. That's the thing. It's maybe you don't. Maybe you think that they're set for the future as well. We'll see, especially with Boston. This is a longer discussion we can have another time. Play it or pass it. This one's directly tied to the Halliburton thing, I think. Play it or pass it. TJ McConnell, over 4.5 assists. It's at -125. Are you playing it or passing it, Brandon?
I'm going to pass it. I think we are getting taxed here on something that we are not sure of yet, and I don't like that. McConnell's line sits at 3.5 most nights. It's up to 4.5 and heavily juiced on top of that. So I get why. It's obviously Halliburton related. I'm just not willing to buy into it. I actually like, if you want to bet TJ McConnell assists, I like an alt line a little bit more. This is where one of those, if you're right, just be really right. 7+ sits at +300. That to me is more appealing, throwing a slightly smaller unit size out there. And then if Hallie is out, then TJ McConnell is going to blow past 4.5, might even get to 7 as the primary distributor. You'd be sitting on a nice little ticket if Halliburton is out. 7+ at +300 to me is a better bet.
All right. One more Pacers play it or pass it here. Ben Mathurin, over 11.5 at -110. 11.5 points, excuse me. Play it or pass it?
I'm going to play it. This one is also starting to climb, but I don't mind it as much. This is another tax situation, but I feel like this is the lever that Rick Carlisle has to pull. Mathurin is a fearless scorer. Plus, you get the whole role players at home factor. He's a pressure player. We've seen him put up big numbers in the last two series in certain situations, and this feels like a you got to let it fly kind of game. I like him to get it done in an obvious must-win situation. I'm telling you right now, Jeff, it's either going to be him or Obi Toppin. One of those two is going off. One of those two will hit their over tonight. And just pick your favorite bench pacer.
I'm going to do the Twitter meme and say, why not both? But we'll go with that. That's my hope. And it's almost a hope at this point in time, though. Let's look at the OKC side of things here. SGA to have a double-double. Got +320 odds. So get pretty good payout here. Player to pass it.
Yeah, I'm going to pass it. He's had 4 double-doubles in the postseason so far. So I'm just going to whip out the old calculator here and do a little bit of math. That's 19% of his games in the playoffs. He's had a double-double. +320 would suggest about a 25% chance. So just strictly based on stubborn math, this is a bad number. The reality is there is zero value betting on SGA, period. At this point, all of those numbers have been squeezed so much. Now, if his points prop drops to 33.5 because enough people agree with me that it's become too pricey, then I can be convinced. But otherwise, I am all out on SGA as great as he is.
Yeah, I love the, you know, these sort of bets are great because it does, and I love your logic behind it there because it does really require you to do the math that, oh, 320, that seems like a lot. Oh, and you don't take the time to do the math in that there. And you're like, oh, okay, I should really be getting +400. I really should be getting that. You see that with long shot bets all the time, especially team bets, like team futures, things like that. Oh, I'm getting 100-1. That's got to be great. No, your odds are really like 500-1 here. You know, it's what you really should be getting paid out here. All right, let's go on to the next one. Jalen Williams, masterpiece in game 5. Over 23.5 points for this one, -110. Play it or pass it.
I'm going to play it. This is one that probably should adjust a little bit more than it has. He's averaging 26 points per game in this series, 26, 27, and 40 over his last three. And he is a big performance away and a bad SGA performance, because I think it would take a correlation of those two, of us having a very serious conversation about who the finals MVP actually is. I have been super impressed with what I've seen from baby Scottie Pippen. And I don't think there's any reason to get away from him here.
All right. Yeah, I think you're probably right about that one there. You look at the DraftKings Sportsbooks, by the way, on their odds for player MVP for the series. SGA is -550. Jalen Williams +600. Closest pacer is Siakam now at +1100. Hallie is all the way up to +7500. I guess when you don't make a shot in a pivotal game 5, that might have something to do with it there, huh?
Yeah, he was terrible in that last game. So that torpedoed any opportunity for Tyrese Halliburton to win this thing. At this point, if you're a Halle backer, you're just hoping that he plays, period. It's still so unlikely that Jalen Williams wins finals MVP. I don't even think the number that you're speaking of not getting a good enough price. Nick brought this up yesterday. You probably should be getting more like 10-1 on Jalen Williams. And the number right now is sitting south of that because of what it would take. It would take a bad game from SGA and a great game from Jalen Williams. It's just not likely with the way that SGA has been playing that that's going to happen. So if both of them play really well, look at what SGA has done numbers wise in this series. We've all fallen in love with J-Dub in the last couple of games, but SGA averaging over 30 points per game, he's doing stuff that we haven't seen since Michael Jordan.
You know, honestly though, I'm going back to Halliburton here at 7,500. I think the theory of the case is if the Pacers win, it's going to be because Halliburton not only plays, but plays well. You know, I don't think they win without him. I at least not making a big impact there. So you think about it that way. I mean, it's a long shot, but I think you're at least getting a payoff for that. All right. One more player.
At 75-1, there are no bad ideas, Jeff.
Yes. If John Mellencamp wins an Oscar, I'll be rich. But, you know, we can go with that, the old Office reference there. Okay, Chet Holmgren, over quickly here, over 9.5 rebounds at minus 120. Player to pass it.
I'm going to pass it. This one's a little bit too juicy for me. Love what he's done over the past three games. Really shown that he's a multidimensional player and why he's so valuable to the Thunder. Three straight double-digit performances in the rebounding department. But this is still a guy that averages less than 9 over the course of the season. If this was set at about minus 105, I could get in on it. But at minus 120, I'll let somebody else bet it.
Want to make smarter football bets this season? Start with VSiN Pro. For a limited time, grab our football special at the early bird rate of just $175, giving you full access from now through the Super Bowl. That includes our NFL betting guide, the ultimate playbook with team breakdowns, power ratings, and season-long best bets. You'll also get a daily best bets email from our expert hosts and guests, real-time betting splits from DraftKings and Circa, live and on-demand shows via the VSiN Watch app, deep analytics and betting tools on VSiN.com. Don't miss this early bird deal. Head to VSiN.com/subscribe to lock in your early bird football special for just $175. That's VSIN.com/subscribe. We're going to continue with our Game 6 analysis. We're going to bring in Brian Fonseca, host and analyst and writer at the Action Network. Join us next as we talk more with Brian. This is Prop Points.
You're watching Prop Points on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Welcome back to Prop Points. Jeff Erickson here with Brandon Kravitz, and we bring in our guest for the day. He is Brian Fonseca from the Action Network. You can follow him on Twitter at Brian Fonseca NY. Thunder at Pacers, game 6 tonight, -5.5 in favor of the Thunder, total of 222. Brian, welcome to Prop Points. What do you think of that spread in total?
The spread, it's been interesting because we've been tracking movement. It was at 6.5. There was a 7 right after Tyrese Halliburton was declared, I would say, a game time decision. And the report came out about the potential severity of his injury, but now it's moved back a little bit. The spread is just very tricky for me in this spot, given that OKC hasn't really covered on the road, except for that one time where they did, and they barely did. And I just think in looking at the spread for this game, for me, it's like I could see a world where OKC just dominates and it's like, okay, the better team ends up winning the road game 6, which tends to happen when they have a 3-2 lead statistically. But there's another world where the Pacers just prove us wrong again. And they're like, oh, we're actually going to push to 7. We don't care how healthy Tyrese Halliburton is because we're the Indiana Pacers and this is what we do. And as an objective basketball viewer and someone who talks about this stuff for a living, I would love to see a game 7. So I wouldn't mind if the Indiana Pacers won. But I do think I would lean OKC here, but I would rather not touch the spread personally.
I'm going to look at two different scenarios here, Brian. One scenario is Halliburton doesn't play and it's the TJ McConnell show. The other is Halliburton does play, but he's hampered. Which of those hurts the Pacers more? If you get Halliburton somewhere between 60 to 75%, but he does try to give it a go, or if he just doesn't play and TJ McConnell is the starting point guard?
As long as he's not OG Anunoby last year in game seven, I want him out there. If he can give you more than that, I think if he's even as effective as he can be last game, I think I would take that just because of the presence of him being out there and a potential threat. You obviously don't want him turning the ball over. You don't want him to play into the Thunder's hands and just driving these passes into the passing lanes where the OKC Thunder are the best in the league and the best that we've seen in a while at cutting off some of these passes that Tyrese Halliburton likes to hit without turning the ball over a ton, by the way. So I think for me, I'd rather him out there because ultimately, if I'm Indiana, I want my best guy out there. But if he absolutely sucks, like if he just can't give you anything, then yeah, I probably would be like, okay, TJ McConnell, Andrew Nembhard, probably Andrew Nembhard, actually. Like, you guys have to sort of carry it from a playmaking perspective, and then the onus will be on Pascal Siakam, who's over-under I like in terms of points for this game, which, you know, I think Pascal, regardless of Tyrese Halliburton's health, is probably going to be tasked with carrying the offensive load regardless.
Yeah, so funny you mentioned Anunoby. I was talking about that actually on our SiriusXM Fantasy show today, too, because I do remember – the NBA is relentless. They find weak links. And this whole playoffs has been about weak links versus strong links. You know, not having a weak link there. Teams are really good at finding that one thing to exploit and going to it over and over and over again. And I remember the Pacers did that against New York last year when that happened. And especially calf injuries, too. That specific type of injury, it can be so exploitable on defense.
Yeah, and when it's a strain, you're very close to making it a full tear. That's what makes this difficult. Like, Kevin Durant went through this in some way. Yep. In the 2019 playoffs, where there was the strain. He was out for a little bit, a couple series, came back, and then there goes the Achilles. And that's the last thing you want to see for Tyrese Halliburton. That's the last thing you want to see for anybody in a NBA climate where seemingly everyone's getting hurt at an abnormal rate. And that's part of why we're seeing missed games, load management, and all these other things that we don't have to get into for this conversation because we'll be here for an hour. But I get playing it safe. I get wanting to play it safe. But also, if you're Tyrese Halliburton, and I'm sure he's thinking this, like, there's a chance you're never here again. There's a chance you're never here for the rest of your career. There's a ton of guys who get to the finals and have only gotten there once. In his own organization, Reggie Miller, who was with a lot of good Indiana Pacers teams, like, look at the amount of times they actually got to the finals and had a chance to actually win the NBA championship, where there were probably at least two or three other Pacers teams who were good enough to win the East, if not maybe more. Like, it's never guaranteed. So I'm sure he's going to go all out. He's been getting round-the-clock treatment. And I think Indiana, like, you're just ultimately better if Halliburton is on the floor with your season on the line and with an NBA championship hanging in the balance. But you hope that he's at least 70, 75%.
What about the other guys that benefit the most from a hampered Halliburton, or just, I mean, even getting away from the injury itself? These guys have their backs firmly against the wall. They're at home, so maybe you expect a little bit of a bump when it comes to those role players. But independent of the report that we get on Halley, who are some of the other guys that you like from the prop in terms of the prop market?
I was on Pascal Siakam immediately after the last game at over 20 and a half points. Now it's at 21 and a half. I'm okay with that too. Siakam, look, he's gotten 6+ free throw attempts in every game this series. He's gotten 14 or more field goal attempts in all but one game this series. He's gotten 15 three times. And he's ultimately getting up more threes now. He's gotten 6 up in each of the last two. I thought, independent of Tyrese Halliburton, he would get this. I think now I feel obviously better about it because there's a world where he just has to get 30 for them to be competitive. And that's not necessarily Indiana Pacers basketball. Like, the whole thing is you're sharing and you're having games at the end of the stat sheet, looking at it where one guy has 22, another guy has 18, somebody else is 15, somebody else is 12, somebody else is 11, somebody else is 9. Like, it's distributed a little more evenly. But Siakam is the only guy on the Pacers who can get a shot off against this team consistently, because they have a lot of answers for Tyrese Haliburton. But for Pascal Siakam, he has a unique combination of size and strength. He's too strong for Chet Holmgren at times. He's too big for some of the smaller perimeter defenders that they're going to have on him at times on switches. For Jalen Williams, for example, he can take care of that matchup. Not that it's easy necessarily, but he could have some success there. He's also very fast, like in transition. He can still finish very strongly, and he could score in a variety of different ways. His three-point shot is hitting, then that's great, but also he can get to the rim. He can shoot from the mid-range area. So I like Siakam regardless of what happens with Tyrese Haliburton in this matchup. It's my favorite prop, and I think if he doesn't get this, I don't think it'll be based on a lack of attempts. I think it'll just be his shot is off, and it's just one of those games.
Do you have any other favorite props tonight? Anybody on OKC that's not so Haliburton dependent?
On OKC, so it's funny. I thought about this, but like Lu Dort is interesting, but he's such a wild card because of the shooting. He is plus money to go over 8.5. I haven't played this, but it's something that I've been looking at as far as OKC goes. And I think with Indy, though, I have an easier time of like, okay, if Tyrese Haliburton, like regardless of the situation, I can look at, okay, I like Siakam. Another one I like, for example, you guys just talked about a little while ago is Ben Mathurin, who I took at over 9.5 when it opened. That's moved to like 11.5, and it feels like he's one of the only guys who can generate offense and create offense. And it looks like Rick Carlisle understands, hey, I'm going to need some isolation buckets at some point just to bail us out, and Ben Mathurin can do that. But on the OKC side, like Lu Dort is a wild card, but he's one that interests me. I haven't played it. We'll see if I do. And obviously, how could you not look at Jalen Williams? Like, not just because of last performance, but he can do so much. He's a guy that I've liked in the playoffs, just betting his rebounds plus assists. In this series, it hasn't been as successful, so I haven't really bet it outside of game one. And the scoring, though, is there. And if you think this game is going to be up-tempo, that also benefits Jalen Williams as well, because he can get out and transition and finish, and obviously he can shoot. And that's one of the main things that I'm looking at there. So it's hard not to like those guys. Admittedly, I haven't taken an OKC prop yet, other than I haven't taken a single player prop yet, actually, for OKC. But Jalen Williams is maybe the first guy I'll look, and I'll entertain Lu Dort, but we'll ultimately see closer to tip.
Real quick, Brian.
Awesome SGA. Stuff as always. Sorry about that there. Sorry about that. Brian, really appreciate you coming on board. Good luck with all your plays tonight. And hopefully we'll get to do this again, and we kind of recap the finals a little bit here. Thanks for joining us today.
Absolutely. Appreciate it. Anytime.
Brian Fonseca, everybody, from the Action Network. Follow him on Twitter at Brian Fonseca NY. This summer, go all in at Circa Las Vegas with the ultimate getaway package. Just $400 all in. You'll get a two-night stay at Circa, $100 dining credit, $100 beverage credit, and your very own daybed at Stadium Swim, where the party never stops. All for just $400, resort fees and taxes included. This limited-time offer is through September 4th. Don't miss out. Lock in your all-in summer package now at CircaLasVegas.com. Jeff Erickson here with Brandon Kravitz. We are talking a lot of NBA. We're going to switch the conversation over to baseball, though. Brandon, your burden has been lifted. I will carry it for you here. I'll be Sisyphus pushing up that baseball betting rock up the hill. Coming up next year, all next on Prop Points, where we have a number of day games going on. In fact, 7 games are going on right now. We'll get you updates on those games as well, in addition to those bets. Stay tuned. This is Prop Points.
Prop Points on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Welcome back to VSiN, the sports betting network. You are locked into Prop Points. I'm Brandon Kravitz, filling in for the vacationing Nick Whalen. Jeff Erickson back from vacation, so we sort of yo-yo this hosting thing. We have baseball galore today, and I need a little bit of help because my baseball bets are colder than ice. We have 7 games being played out right now, and the cold streak continues. I took the Reds on the money line. They're down 5, 9-4 against the Minnesota Twins in the top of the seventh. The Yankees bats have somewhat come alive. They're up 4-3 on the Angels. They haven't gotten to four runs in over five games, so good to see that for the Pinstripes. The Rockies and the Nationals all knotted up at two in the top of the seventh. And we have a Scooble outing, and he's once again dealing. 5-0 right now, the Tigers on top of the Pirates, but that under is in danger. The total set at seven, and we already have five runs on the Tigers side in this game. So hopefully you just took a Pirates team total under in that one. The White Sox and the Cardinals right now just finished up the second inning. Cardinals on top, 1-0. The Cubs right now trail the Brewers in an NL Central battle by two. And we just got going with the Royals and the Rangers. Jeff, let's get into the evening slate with some of your favorite plays, providing me with some relief here. We'll start with what is going to happen right after we go off the air. The Diamondbacks at the Blue Jays. The Blue Jays installed as a favorite here, minus 137 on the money line, over under set at 8.5. We got Kevin Gausman on the mound for the Blue Jays. What are we looking at here when it comes to Toronto and Arizona? An interesting battle.
Yeah, indeed. This one's interesting. The Arizona pitching staff is in shambles right now. Corbin Burns out for the season. Justin Martinez, one of their two closer guys, out for the season. AJ Puck, the other potential closer, seeking a second opinion on his elbow. Usually it means the first isn't so good. Pitching has been bad. Zach Gallen's been bad. Ryan Nelson, today's starter, has been serviceable, aside from a disaster outing two starts ago against the Reds. But the Diamondbacks, they're backsliding. They're now 9 games out in the NL West. They're below 500. Their hitting remains mostly potent with a 329 WOBA, 108 WRC plus over the last 30 days. Unfortunately, Corbin Carroll got hit on the hand yesterday and left the game. X-rays were negative. However, he is not in the lineup. This took a while for this lineup to post. It was one of those where they're kind of holding. I think they're probably holding out, waiting to see if Carroll could play or not. He is not in the lineup today. Instead, Randall Grichuk is in the lineup in right field in his place. So they're without him. They're without catcher Gabriel Moreno, who went on the IL today as well. So they're down a couple of significant parts. Posing pitcher for the Blue Jays, Kevin Gausman, has just been okay lately. 10 earned runs over his last three. But the Blue Jays, they're only 2 games out with the Yankees slumping. Yankees are ahead 4-3 today. We'll see what happens on that. But it's the bats that have been on fire all of a sudden for Toronto. Early in the season, we were talking about them not hitting very well. In the last 30 days, 4th in baseball in WOBA and in WRC+. 333 WOBA, 116 WRC+ over the last 30. This money line, it opened at 137, minus 137 favor of the Blue Jays. Obviously, with Carroll out of the lineup, it's gone up quite a bit. So it's hard to get a little bit of value on that money line. Instead, I'm going to go with the team total for the Blue Jays instead. So that's pretty constant. Over 4.5 on the Jays at minus 105. I like that one quite a bit. I think their bats are going pretty well right now.
Hot bats at home sounds like a good bet to me. Let's move to the Padres and the Dodgers. Burgert against Yoshi Yamamoto. The Dodgers snatched a 4-3 victory last night against the Padres after the Padres scored 2 in the 9th, so a little bit of a scare there. But San Diego has now lost 6 of their last 7, 3 straight to the LA Dodgers. So what are we looking at here?
Yeah, Padres are in danger right now. People don't realize how poorly the Padres have been hitting in the last 30 days. Last in baseball, both WOBA and WRC+. 284 WOBA, 83 WRC+. So even though Yoshi Yamamoto really struggled last time out, 5 earned runs, 2 homers, 5 walks, he's been a little up and down after that great start to the season. I like backing him tonight. Unfortunately, as you can see with the money line, just betting the Dodgers to win really doesn't provide a whole lot of value for us here. Even the bet I'm going to do is Yamamoto to record a win is at minus 140. That's not even great value. You know, sometimes, you know, we talk about the game. Sometimes no bet's okay, you know, or maybe you find a different player prop. I think minus 140 is okay with Yamamoto. I try to find a way maybe to pair it with something else as a way to kind of get around that a little bit.
So will you bet every game on the board almost on the daily, or do you look for reasons to not do that? What's the daily strategy?
Full disclosure moment.
Because I know how much you dig into all this.
I love digging into all this. I play a lot of fantasy. I'll do the picks games. I live in California though, so I don't, you know, unless I'm in a state where I can bet, I'm not betting these games. Full disclosure here, just so you know. you know, please don't buy picks for me. That would be a very bad idea for you to do. But I will point you in the directions that I like, but I don't get to bet them myself, unfortunately. But yeah,
might have to drag you out of the state so that you can live in the world, the real world with the rest of us.
I know, right?
All right, let's move on to the Pirates and the Tigers. We are going to get Paul Skenes tonight against Keiter Montero. Mm-hmm. Not getting Skenes and Skubal tonight, by the way, is criminal. The Pirates have won their last two with Skenes on the mound. It looks like they're setting up for a loss today on the first end of this doubleheader. But no thanks to run support, by the way. These last two wins for Skenes have been 2-1 victories. So what are we looking at here?
Yeah, and that's the thing is, how often do you see the Pirates, a worse team, favored on the money line, -140 over the team with the best record in baseball, at home, at Detroit? It's all about the pitching matchup. It's all about Skenes versus Keiter Montero. Montero is obviously not that great of a starting pitcher. He's kind of been their fifth, sixth starter. You look at his numbers so far this year, not super. You know, you're looking at a 4.24 ERA. It was in the fives earlier, so they're getting by with him. But they've been hitting a lot in support of him. So you're looking at Skubal going today, though, and getting a decent lead. Maybe that bullpen's going to be nice and healthy for this one. That's one of the theories I'm looking at here. So I'm going to go with a low score as a whole in this game. Go with the under 7 runs at -105.
Yeah, I am sitting on an under ticket right now for the first game, and the Pirates are doing their part, so I appreciate that. 5-0 right now in the top of the fourth, Skubal dealing for the Tigers. Now, for the Giants and the Guardians, I was looking at some notes, and I thought, hey, this could be a good Logan Webb game. Good night for him. The Guardians' projected lineup has 6 hitters with a strikeout rate of 26% or higher against right-handed pitching, and then, hey, checks notes. And Jeff is on Logan Webb as well. So what do you like?
Yep. Another, you know, and I've been, you know, we're at a point in the season where you shouldn't be looking as much at season long totals. You should be trying to find, you know, the season long matters, but at the same time, you should be looking for a little bit more recency as well. Cleveland, just like the Padres, are really struggling at the plate lately. 291 WOBA, 87 WRC plus, 23.9% strikeout percentage over the last 30. In previous years, the Guardians weren't considered a high strikeout team. They are this year. And that has my attention. And as you alluded to, six batters at that high strikeout percentage. So I'm not going to spend as much time on the money line. Gavin Williams has actually been better lately for the Guardians. But I think there's some value in that +130 over 6.5 Ks for Logan Webb. It was originally set at 5.5, but that's pretty heavy minus money now. So I think that's why I like taking the alternate line. Going with that instead.
All right, you want to fit in one more, or should we get to these best bets? Your call, you're the host.
Let's do a real quick, just a quick mention on Mets Braves. I think this is interesting. Mets have lost 5 in a row. They're still, though, a game up in the East. They're all 11 games up on the Braves. Spencer Strider on the mound. This is a Spencer Strider note worth here. Struck out 13 is the last start. First time he looked like Spencer Strider, more of a loss in his last start. Let's go over 7.5 Ks at +120 on him as far as that goes. Best bets are brought to you by GBank, including the $500 trifecta from GBank, First Bet, and VSiN. All you need to do is open a GBank Visa Signature credit card. In the first 90 days, deposit and play through $1,000 at First Bet to trigger the $500 trifecta. You'll receive $200 in cashback rewards on your GBank Visa Signature credit card. First Bet will give you a $100 deposit match. VSiN completes the trifecta with a free VSiN Pro subscription through October 31st, a $200 value. That's $500 trifecta from GBank, First Bet, and VSiN. Head to VSiN.com/GBank. That's VSIN.com/GBank. This one-time promotion is limited to customers opening a new account in response to this offer and will not apply to requests to convert existing accounts. Apply today. Terms and conditions apply. All right, Brandon, it's time for your GBank best bet of the day. What is it?
Closeout situation in Indiana. The Thunder defense has clamped down. Give me the under at 222.5.
I'm with you on that one. My best bet's going to be Logan Webb's K prop at over 6.5 Ks, +130. That's going to wrap up today's show. Make It Rain is coming up next with Adam Schein. Thanks for listening to Prop Points.